Today's epistle reading and focus passage is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. As always, I invite you to follow along in your own Bible or device, or you can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read these words from Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Confession time for all of us. Who considers themselves a good gift giver? Okay, Mina, thank you. Frank, we've got a few out there. You would consider yourself a good gift giver. So let me take a guess. In other words, you are thoughtful about the gift you give somebody. In other words, you know Christmas or a birthday is coming up soon, an anniversary, and so you're weeks ahead of time. You're thinking, what can I do to make this a special gift? Months ahead of time, very good gift giver. What can I do? So you may be thinking about getting something engraved, maybe something sewn. You may be thinking of crafting something yourself. Those are good gift givers, and it doesn't matter how much they cost, because you're thinking more about... You're thinking of that person, what means something to them, so you make something for them. Maybe you donate to a cause or something they care about in their name as a gift, okay? Who would consider themselves not so good gift givers? Majority of us. I'm raising my hand for that as well. I'm the type who knows something's coming up in a few days, and I think, oh my goodness. Okay, I don't have time to call things remembered and have something engraved. I don't have time to get something monogrammed, so I need to go to the mall this week and get something. It might be a gift card. I say, they like that store. They can shop there. They can pick out what they want. I think there's a place for that, by the way. I'm thrilled when I get a gift card of $50 or something that sends me to a store that I like and I can shop for. That's thoughtful, I think, and there's probably a middle ground somewhere in there. Okay, so it's not that some people are just good gift givers and thoughtful gift givers and others are just not. The answer is probably somewhere in the middle. I mean, who spent time considering the sociological aspects of gift giving around the dinner table? That's a no from everybody. And if you had raised your hand, I might think that was a little weird. You see, our gift giving speaks volumes about our social structures and about what we're thinking of the other person. You may not have thought about that a whole lot, but gift giving should actually mean something. In fact, this is such an intriguing concept that University of Virginia sociologist Theodore Kaplow traveled to Muncie, Indiana to study gift giving around Christmas time. He studied families, thousands of people who exchanged gifts during the Christmas season. He chose Muncie, Indiana as perhaps an average town in the United States. And through that, he was able to write two essays about the social structuring of gift giving. What gift giving means for a relationship, how it forms us in our relationships, and what it means. So after this, you may be thinking about and reflecting on the gifts that you have given, because you might have a whole new outlook on what it means to give a gift to someone. For instance, he found a few interesting facts. He found that parents are expected in this society to give more valuable and more numerous gifts to their children and to their adult children than they receive in return. And they say this imbalance is actually central to gift giving around the holidays. Now, once again, this is the study he found. Your family may do it differently. You may not do it the same way at all, and that's okay. But he found that it is generally the case for children to perhaps give their parents a gift or a couple of gifts, while parents or grandparents may shower their children or grandchildren with many gifts. I think we would kind of agree that's generally how things are done, right? There are some gifts that are given from employers to employees or from grateful patients to physicians or from pupils to teachers that do not call for reciprocation. So in other words, when we give a gift to someone, there's sometimes an underlying understanding that that person is eventually going to give us something back. No, we don't give a gift expecting someone to give it back, but that's generally what the relationship means. But what they found is that, for instance, if you really love your doctor, you may give your doctor a Christmas gift or a birthday gift, but it would be unreasonable to think that that doctor may give all of his or her patients a Christmas gift. So there are some gifts that you give you don't expect anything back from. Money is an appropriate gift from a senior to junior kid, but an inappropriate gift from junior to senior, regardless of the relative influence of the parties. In other words, they're saying that most people find it taboo or inappropriate, or people just don't do it, where a parent might give a child a gift or a check for some money to go purchase something. A lot of times, the kids will not give that gift to the parents or grandparents. Like, I can't imagine going to my grandparents and saying Merry Christmas and writing them a check. They want pictures of the grandkids. They want something we've made. They want something small, something special. Once again, this may not be your family. It also permits us in gift giving to say how much we value someone else over someone else. In other words, it permits the husband, for instance, to say to the wife, I value you more than my parents. Or the mother to say to the daughter-in-law, I value you as much as my son, so long as you are married to him. Or the brother to say to the brother, I value you more than my good friends, but less than our parents and much less than my children. So for instance, when I give a gift to my brother around Christmas time, I'm saying to him, I value you as my family member, but I'm going to give more gifts to my wife and to my kids and my brother. And he's not offended by that, because that's, again, that's how we do gifts. In the dialect of a Christmas gift giving, the absence of a gift can also mean something, signifying either the absence of a close relationship, as in the Christmas contact of cousins, or maybe even the desire to send a message. Withholding a gift might be sending signals to someone. If you had always given a gift and then you stopped, there may be something to it. This is what this professor found. So gift giving, gift receiving, the exchange of gifts says a lot more than we might give it credit for. And so now, the next time as you think about what gift you will give someone on their birthday or anniversary or Christmas, think back to this study. The final chapter of Tom Rainer's book, I Am a Church Member, is called I Will Treasure Church Membership as a Gift. And so today, in our final week of this sermon series, we're going to consider church membership as a gift. We will celebrate and ponder this notion of being a part of a church as a gift. I think we already heard testimony of that this morning, that being a part of a faith community is an ongoing gift, a blessing to those who are welcomed into it. Do we truly celebrate the gift of membership and attending First Baptist Church as a gift of joy and love and peace? When we enter this place and take part in the membership of First Baptist Church of Black Mountain, do we believe that we are receiving the gift of Christ every time we take part in this place? Do we put thought and energy into giving ourselves as a gift to the entire church? Do we give thought to what it means for us to bring our presence here and to be a blessing to others? Do we wish to reciprocate that gift to God and to others? In today's passage, the author of Hebrews is encouraging the church to continue meeting together in a difficult time. We've reflected on this passage not too long ago, and the main point of the passage is offering encouragement to the church who is awaiting Christ's return and are becoming discouraged because, well, he hasn't returned. And so what we understand, or what is inferred in this passage, is that the church is giving up. They're saying, we thought Jesus was supposed to return by now, and he hasn't, so let's just give up on meeting together. Let's give up on doing church and being church together. And the author of Hebrews says, no. That's why you keep meeting together. Because you are encouraged, you keep meeting together to find Jesus in community as you await his return. No. It may make sense that you're discouraged and you want to give up, but that's all the more reason to treasure this church membership, this church doing church together as a gift. Something you receive and something you give as a member of the body of Christ. So make something of church membership, the author says. The author essentially says, you have a gift here that will bring you joy and salvation, and you can keep giving and reopening that gift day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, as you see the day approaching. Don't give up. Keep meeting together. In other words, Christians are encouraged to value this church membership as a gift, and in many ways, as the cliche goes, the gift that keeps on giving, being a part of the church. And yet we must open it, we must treasure it, we must think on it, we must value it. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, I tell you, ask and it will be gifted to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Now, Jesus didn't use explicit language about gift giving or gift exchanging, but I think Jesus is making a very important point about what it means to be in the body of Christ, to have a relationship with God, to have a relationship with Christ through the church. It's something we're constantly seeking and looking into and prying into and opening to see what God is gifting us with through the person of Jesus Christ. When my little girls receive gifts at Christmas time from grandparents or from us, they may open a gift, and as soon as they see it, what do? They toss it aside, ready for the next gift. That doesn't necessarily mean they don't want it. They're just ready to move on. But sometimes they'll open a gift and they'll look in and they're so excited that they don't care about the other gifts that are waiting to be opened. They start opening the packaging. They want to start playing, exploring right then. I think people who are Christians, those of us who trust in Jesus as Lord and enter into the communion of the church, we have two options. We can receive this gift of church membership, open it, toss it aside. Or we can take off the tape and the wrapping, we can insert batteries, we can untie the ties, and we can seek out what it means to find Jesus in the life of the church. Church membership is a gift that we continue to explore, something we continue to value and exchange week by week. We treasure church membership because we treasure, first and foremost, the gift of Christ in this place. We read about it in the opening lines of this passage, that Jesus gave his life for all of us. Jesus didn't stop short in this gift giving to us to say, I love you, but not that much. Sometimes we do that when we shop for gifts for others, don't we? We might go to the store and we find something that's just perfect to give someone. We look at the price tag and we say, I love you, but not that much. Jesus didn't stop short and say, I love you, but not that much. Jesus paid the ultimate price. Jesus gave his life for our salvation. Jesus gave his life so that we could be church together. We'll never be able to give God what God has given us through Jesus the Son, but we can give what we can. We can give our lives, and in our lives we can give our time, our money, our devotion. That's how we can reciprocate this gift to Christ. We can give ourselves back. We can carry our cross daily in order to show that we value this gift that is the body of Christ. We also treasure church membership because in it we are moved towards love and good deeds. You see, in this place, we regularly give others the gift of love and good deeds, don't we? That's what church is about. It's not just coming into a building once a week and getting our fill and going back out and not thinking about it again for a week. We are here to give of ourselves to others, and we regularly give and we regularly receive love and good deeds in this place. This entire sermon series, we've talked about how belonging to a church or taking part in a church or being a part of a church body is not like a country club membership. We don't come to this place primarily for finding goods and services. The church is not a dispenser of religious goods and services for us to come to and to get something out of. That being said, I would be remiss to think that we don't expect to garner something by being in the community of Christ. When we take part in a faith community, whether it's First Baptist Church or any other faith community that sees Jesus as Lord, we expect to find love and compassion and grace and mercy in this place. We expect to receive it as much as we give it. So when you enter this place, you should expect to feel God's love and God's embrace when you walk in these doors. And if you don't or you haven't, that is problematic, whether at this church or any other church. We are here to receive the loving embrace of Jesus through the people who are here. So when you come here, you treasure church membership because you can give, but also because you can receive the love of Christ. And then finally, as the author to the Hebrews says, we treasure church membership because in it we find encouragement for the future, whatever it brings. We believe that when we enter this place, we find encouragement and hope as we leave this place and enter a world that is sometimes frustrating and can give us anxiety and can give us fear. But we know when we come in this place and we hear the words of Jesus and feel the embrace of Jesus in church membership, we have hope, not just for this week, but for eternity. Sometimes when I receive a gift, I can tell if it's going to last a while or not. Someone gives me an iTunes gift card, for instance, and I buy some music with it. I know that music will be with me forever. Cloud storage, it's great. It'll never go away. I used to lose CDs and tapes. I'm not old enough to know what an 8-track is. But I used to lose them, and so that gift would be gone. And now you can just simply keep your music in the cloud. It'll be there forever. You'll never lose that. Sometimes I'll receive clothing. Some will last until I can make it to the store to exchange it. Others will last through a season or two or three. They'll eventually wear out. Until Valerie says, you can't wear that shirt anymore, it has too many holes. Or the stains are too prominent, you need to go get yourself a new shirt. Some gifts will last through the years. That's not always a gift you use all the time. It's something that you hold on to and you treasure. For instance, someone may give you a gift to charity in your honor, that's something that will last forever. You may receive something that was crafted or made or drawn for you, and you place it on the shelf because you want to value it for the long haul. The gift of church membership is not something that we can throw away, nor is it something we should try to throw away. It is something that lasts with us and is with us throughout the entire course of our lives. It doesn't last a season, it's forever. Yeah, we may move, we may change churches, we may change denominations, we may go through seasons of reflection where we're not at church frequently, but we remain united with God's people forever when we enter into the covenant with Christ. In this place, day by day, we experience the gift of Christ through the people, through our worship, through our discipleship, through the community that we build here together, and through the mission that we take part in. we are experiencing and holding on to this gift that will last us throughout the course of our lives. Friends, church membership is a gift. It is not something to be tossed aside or devalued. It is a valuable gift. And if it is truly a gift to those of us who call ourselves members of the church, and by that, of course, I mean the church universal, those around the world who see Jesus as Lord and are part of the church across the world, not necessarily First Baptist Church, but every church that calls Jesus as Lord, we must always regard it as a gift. Not something that's just kind of there to tap into when we need it. Not something that's just there to fulfill our every want and desire, but a place that we can continually give and a place we can continually receive. As we finish this series on church membership, it is my hope and prayer that each of us will value church membership as a gift. Not necessarily in the technical sense, because all church memberships look different from church to church, but that we would value our worship and our community and our mission as a gift from Christ, that we never throw away, that we never give up. We continually give and we continually receive in this place. Let's remember that as we prepare to go forth and be the church this week. Let's pray together.